Well, Vineyard Church North Phoenix, how are you guys doing today? You doing good? Man, it is so great to see you. Whether you're joining us online or in person, I really think that you made a great decision by choosing to join us today. If you're a guest or a visitor, maybe this is your very first time here, I want to extend a special welcome to you. My name is James, I'm one of the pastors here. Now, many of you know that our senior pastor, Brian, he has been dealing with and suffering a really serious neck injury for quite some time now, and he was finally able to have surgery on that last week. And I wanted to quickly update you guys. Brian is doing well. The surgeon said that the procedure went as well as it could have gone. So please, first of all, thank you so much for praying for him and praying for that procedure. And we would really appreciate your continued prayers, not just for him, but for his whole family as he recovers. So we're going to be starting a brand new series today called Doing What Jesus Did. And if you have a Bible or a smartphone or maybe a tablet with an app on it, could you please turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But before we get into that, I want to show you a quick video of a little bit of the water baptisms that we did just a few weeks ago. Come on, isn't that so good? And I just wanted to remind all of us that each one of those people being baptized represented someone whose eternity was transformed by Jesus Christ. Amen? So, congratulations to all of those who were water baptized a few weeks ago. And you know, if you're a follower of Jesus and you forever, for whatever reason, haven't been water baptized yet, then that's a really important next step in your spirituality. So we have another opportunity coming up for you to be water baptized in just a few weeks, and all you have to do is to sign up for the water baptism online on our website, watch our water baptism class, which is also on our website, super convenient, and then hopefully we'll be celebrating you being water baptized in just a few weeks. Now, before we go any further, I'm going to pray that God would speak to us, and I'm also going to pray for our offering. You know, here at the church, there's many ways for us to give to God through the church, and those will be on the screen, either behind me or beside me. The way that I personally do it is I automate my giving. I'm kind of a forgetful person, so by automating it, it knows that I know that I'm always giving God the first portion of my income. And I wanted to quickly thank those of you who do faithfully give to God through our church. You know, if it wasn't for your generosity, we wouldn't be able to do any of the ministry here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You know, whether that's from our food bank, which is open 7 days a week and serves hundreds of people, or our many, many outreaches like our Single Mum Spa Day, which happened yesterday. We couldn't do those things without you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that we can meet with you here today. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your words, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you touch us? Would you fill us right now? And Father, I pray for the offering today that you would use these monies not only to touch and transform our local community, but the whole world, Lord. And would you bless us as we give back to you? And Father, I pray for myself right now that you would gift me with the gift of speaking, Lord. If there's anything that I've forgotten to put into this message, Lord, that you would drop that into my mind. We want to hear from you today, Father. And it's in your powerful name that I pray. Amen. All right. It wasn't that good of a prayer. So as I said, we're starting off a new series today called Doing What Jesus Did, and I wanted to kind of set the foundation for the next weeks to come. So here at the Vineyard, we believe in the whole church ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the late leader of the Vineyard movement, John Wimber, he used to say all the time, everyone gets to play. And that means every single follower of Jesus. That means not just the pastors. That means not just the small group leaders. No, every single one of us who are followers of Jesus. Jesus has given all of us different talents, different abilities, different spiritual gifts that God wants to use in ministry to further his kingdom. All followers of Jesus are to be involved in ministry. So let me just explain a little bit more about this. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ on earth was both fully God and fully human. Now, I know that's really difficult and kind of a weird concept for us to get our finite minds around or to really understand, but that's what the Bible says over and over and over. That when Jesus was on earth, at the same time, he was 100% God and 100% human. Not 50% God and 50% human. He was 100% of both. He was God and human at the exact same time. Now, Wayne Grudem, professor of theology and biblical studies at the Phoenix Seminary, he said it this way. He said, it may be easy for us to lose sight of what is actually taught in Scripture. It is by far the most amazing miracle of the entire Bible. Far more amazing than the resurrection and more amazing even than the creation of the universe. The fact that the infinite, omnipotent, that means all-powerful, eternal Son of God could become man and join himself to a human nature forever, so that infinite God became one person with finite man, will remain for eternity the most profound miracle and the most profound mystery in all the universe. I totally agree with that. It's amazing that God actually became flesh and became a human being. But it's the truth. So Jesus was both fully God and fully human. But when Jesus did his works, his miracles, his healings, casting out demons, his teachings, etc., he was ministering as a human empowered by the Holy Spirit. He operated in spiritual gifts. He was the very first spirit-filled person. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, he laid aside his privileges, taking the form of a bondservant. And what Paul is saying here is when Jesus was on the earth, he laid aside his privileges as God when he did his ministry. He could have done them as God because he was God, but he laid aside those privileges and he did the things that he did as a human empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. And so we as followers of Jesus are to be involved in the same kind of works that Jesus did when he was on the earth. Now, think with me for a moment. If we believe that Jesus did the things that he did on earth as God, and then he tells us that we're supposed to do the same things, we would have no chance, right? We would throw our hands up in frustration, like, seriously, Jesus? You're God. I mean, most of us did not wake up this morning, look in the mirror and say, yes, I am the Lord, worthy to be praised. If you did say that, come and speak to me afterwards. Let's have a chat. Now, if you're anything like me, you probably woke up this morning, looked in the mirror, and instead of saying something like, I am God, you probably said something more like, oh my God. Right? There's no skin care routine that's going to fix this face. So one of the things at the Vineyard that we tell pastors and leaders all the time is that we must constantly strike down the professional versus laity mentality in the church, where the professionals, you know, people like me who are paid to do this, those are the ones who do all the ministry, and then everyone else just watches the ministry. We have to strike that mentality down because it is not biblical. That is not what the Bible teaches. Just think of the original 12 men who Jesus chose to be his disciples. Those original 12 disciples were uneducated, untrained men. They were not professional clergy by any stretch of the imagination. And I believe that Jesus chose those kinds of people on purpose because he was showing us that his ministry is to be done by all of us. You know, John Wimber, who I mentioned earlier, he was an incredibly gifted person. He was a world-class musician and songwriter. He was a powerful teacher. He was hugely influential. But he used to say things like, "I'm just a fat man trying to get to heaven." I can't relate to that. I'm just kidding. So one of the things he was trying to communicate by saying things like that is that this is not just about one person. This is not about me doing all the ministry. This is about everyone gets to play. Amen. Amen? So if you're new to the Vineyard, you need to know that this is not a one man or one woman of faith and power type model for church. It's all of us doing ministry. Because the truth is, every Christian is called by God to be involved in ministry. That means every single one of you who are followers of Jesus, you are called by God to be involved in ministry. Now, you'll probably never earn a paycheck for it, but you will be rewarded by God one day. See, that's what the Bible teaches, and it's a very high value for us here at the Vineyard. Everyone gets to play. Everyone ministers in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." You know, if you ever want to know why you were created, Paul tells us right there, you were created for good works. Good works that God has created for your life before you were ever even born. And that's really what ministry is all about. It's walking out those good works. So everybody gets to play. And yet, at the same time, we must always remember that ministry must always be done by depending on the Holy Spirit. Ministry is not based on how gifted you are. It is not based on how smart you are or how not smart you think you are. Ministry is not based on your abilities or how many spiritual gifts you are, and it's certainly not based on some kind of formula. It is based on relying on the Holy Spirit. It was the same with Jesus. You know, I know a lot of Christians get scared or nervous about doing ministry, and that's totally a natural feeling. You know, maybe it's your first time that you're teaching a Vinny Kids class, or maybe you're feeling like God is wanting you to share your faith with a coworker or neighbor, and you're really nervous about that. You know, maybe you're starting to serve as an usher or leading a small group for the very first time. Or maybe you're inviting a coworker to church or something like that. So you're nervous. You're kind of scared about that, and that's natural. You know, I remember being that way, and I still am that way about a lot of different things. You know, you probably can't tell this because I have an accent that makes you think that I'm smarter than I really am. But doing this, speaking in public, speaking to all of you online and all of you in this room, like, this is actually my worst nightmare. I get super nervous. I get super anxious before doing it. It's something that I've really had to work on and practice to get better at. You know, I've probably preached this same message to an empty room about 5 to 10 times this week already. You know, and I'm not saying this to kind of garner some sympathy from you or whatever. I'm saying that as an example to underline the fact that this is not about us doing the stuff, doing ministry. It's about us relying on the Holy Spirit. And if you're involved in ministry, amen. Listen, if you're involved in ministry, and you should be if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to realize that ministry has to always be done by relying on God, the Holy Spirit. Not on how smart we are, not on how gifted we are. We must rely on God. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus relied on God the Spirit as he was ministering. In fact, this is letter E. Jesus did signs and wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do them as God. He did them as a human, relying on the power of the Spirit. Now, I want us to briefly look chronologically at a few scriptures through the book of Luke, because I want to show you how much Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit in his ministry. So this is Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased.'" Remember, we read nothing in the Bible of Jesus doing any kind of teaching, miracle, signs or wonders, etc., until after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He is a model for us. Okay, so now he's been touched and filled by the Spirit. Look at Luke 4, verse 1. "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. He was directed by the Spirit." Luke 4, 14. "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts." So how did Jesus do the miraculous? His inaugural address tells us, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim or preach the favorable year of the Lord." You know how powerful teaching comes? It comes by virtue of the Holy Spirit. You know how we release people from addictions and demonic holds in their lives? Amen. It only comes through our reliance on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then Peter sums up Jesus' ministry this way in Acts 10:38. It says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Jesus was continually relying on the Holy Spirit. In the Vineyard, we believe that we can do nothing, at least nothing lasting in ministry, apart from dependence on the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now that word, "be filled," is in the continuous tense. That means to be filled by the Spirit over and over and over again. Because the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a one-time event, but it is also a repeatable activity. It's something that as followers of Jesus, we need to have happen over and over and over, to be touched by the Spirit, to be filled by the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit. It has to happen continually with us. So now, you're probably thinking, "That sounds cool. How does that happen? How is a person filled with the Holy Spirit?" The number one thing you need to ask, by asking the Holy Spirit to fill you personally by faith. If you want to be filled by the Holy Spirit, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you personally by faith. You know, there's a very famous verse in the best book of the Bible. Does anyone know what the best book of the Bible is? You guys are learning. The book of James. I'm biased. It says this, you have not, does anyone know? Because you ask not. And maybe you never thought to ask God, but you have not because you ask not. But we ask the Holy Spirit by faith, just like when we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior for the very first time. We're asking him to come and forgive us of our sins by faith, by asking in faith. Now, when you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, you don't have to worry that you're going to be filled with something else, like an evil spirit or something weird like that. Jesus himself said in Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that good? Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to fill you? Have you done that recently? Do you do that on a regular basis? And as you do that, as you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, part of that is you surrender your entire being over to him. It's like Romans 12:1 that says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. There's this surrendering. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me again? And I again surrender my life fully over to you. We should do that every morning before we get up. And then if there's something in your life that's out of whack, you take a moment, you confess that, pray something like Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, which says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And if God brings something to mind that's not pleasing to him, that's our opportunity to confess. And you know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so there's asking, there's surrendering, and another part of being filled with the Spirit is that at times, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life will be very powerful. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a very powerful way, maybe during ministry time, maybe during worship, maybe during a personal prayer time. You're asking the Holy Spirit and you really engage in a powerful encounter with God. You will really feel him physically, his peace, his joy. Maybe you'll feel incredibly safe in his presence. Or some of your fear and anxiety will melt away because the Holy Spirit has touched you. And this kind of encounter can involve every part of us. It can involve our emotions, where you get all emotional when the Holy Spirit touches you at times. It can involve your body, where you actually respond physically. Maybe you start shaking, or maybe you feel a kind of warmth. And now I know that that can be faked, but just because it could be faked doesn't mean that it's not real, because it is. Those kinds of things happen all the time, and they will happen to you the longer that you allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Now, it won't always be like that, but at times it can be, and it will be. I mean, just take a moment sometime and look around the room during worship. You can physically see at times the Holy Spirit touching people. Some people will be shaking out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people will be crying. That's the Holy Spirit. Maybe they don't even know what that is. And we hear that all the time. You know, I came into worship and I just couldn't stop crying. That's the Holy Spirit touching you. So sometimes the Holy Spirit comes upon you and it's like that. And at other times, his infilling will be almost imperceptible to you. You won't feel anything. But you know you asked him to fill you, so he has. And then you just continue to try and rely on the Holy Spirit throughout the day. And as you're going through your day, if you blow it in some way, if you sin, if you mess up, then you stop, you confess that sin, and then you ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you again. So to recap, everyone gets to play, but we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is this: we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do ministry effectively. Okay, let me talk about one more thing that I think is going to really help us to set the foundation of this series moving forward. That is the theology of the kingdom of God. Now, this is central to our understanding about healing, about lack of healing, about faith, etc. It's why we don't have to fall into the trap of blaming a sick person when healing doesn't happen, you know, because of a lack of faith or a hidden sin or something like that. You know, unfortunately, that happens all the time in the body of Christ, in the wider church. You know, we'll pray for someone who's sick, they don't get well, and so we blame them. Oh, you would have been healed if you had a bit more faith. Let me be absolutely clear. That is abusive. That is terrible that anyone would ever say that. And oh, you must have had some secret sin in your life. That's why you weren't healed. We never want that sort of thing to happen here at the Vineyard. Okay? So let me give you a few brief points about the theology of the kingdom of God that we have here at the Vineyard. This is taught in our Ministry Training 1 class, which is online on our website. You can take that anytime you want and go a little bit deeper on this subject if you want. But we believe the Bible teaches the already and the not yet of the kingdom of God. Now, kingdom is the Greek word basileia. It means the rule and reign. So whenever you see the kingdom of God, that means the rule and reign of God. And where is the kingdom of God? It's wherever God is fully ruling and reigning. Right now, the kingdom of God is fully manifest in heaven. God is fully and totally ruling and reigning right there, right now. You know, Revelations 21 tells us that there will be no more sorrow, no tears, no pain. All of that is gone because God's kingdom is manifest. Now, the very first recorded words of Jesus' public ministry give us real insight into this theology of the kingdom. He says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What he's saying is, I want everyone to know, I have brought God's kingdom to earth. Then for the next 3.5 years, Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God by his works. You might notice as you reread the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus would heal somebody, he would often say, "The kingdom of God has come upon you." This is evidence. This is the demonstration of the kingdom. You used to be sick. Now you're not. The kingdom of God is here. Because there is no sickness where God's kingdom is. Amen. You know, Jesus would cast out a demon and he would say something like, "The kingdom of God is here." You used to be demonized. Now you're set free. That's evidence of the demonstration of the kingdom. Jesus would proclaim the kingdom of God was here. Then he would demonstrate that the kingdom of God was here. So the kingdom of God is here on earth and has been since Jesus came for the very first time 2,000 years ago. And yet, the kingdom of God is not fully here. Not like it will be when Jesus comes again, whenever that is. In fact, remember Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Where? On earth. As it is, where? In heaven. Well, Jesus, I thought the kingdom of God was already here. Why pray for it to come, right? Well, it is here, but it's not fully here. Not like it will be one day. So pray for more of the kingdom of God to come. And so in the Vineyard, we talk about the kingdom of God as being already here and not yet here at the same time. We live in that tension. One of the ways that John Wimber, who I mentioned earlier, would talk about it is like a picket fence. You know, is a picket fence all wood? No. Is it all space? No. It's both, isn't it? It's fence and it's not fence at the same time. And that's sort of a picture of the kingdom. It's here and it's not here at the same time. So we constantly pray for the kingdom of God to break into this present evil age. You know, when we pray things like, God, bring more of your kingdom and heal this person that I'm laying my hands on and praying for. God, would you bring your kingdom and open the spiritual eyes of my coworker that I'm sharing my faith with? Would you allow them to see Jesus for who he really is? Bring more of your kingdom, God. God, would you come and release this person from their addiction as I'm praying for them? Bring more of your kingdom. See, it's that tension that we live in. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. At times we pray for the sick and they get better. It's the thrill of victory. And then the next 15 times that we pray for sick people, they don't get well at all. In fact, maybe we get what they had. It's the agony of defeat. That's life in the kingdom. You share your faith with a coworker and they decide that they want to surrender their life to Jesus. It's an amazing miracle. It's the thrill of victory. And then the next 15 people that you share your faith with, they don't want to have anything to do with it. It's the agony of defeat. It's both at the same time. And we live in that tension. That's what the kingdom is. Now, I know that some of you are sick and hurting in your body. Maybe you've been dealing with that for a very long time. Or maybe you have some emotional maladies that you've been dealing with, and you've been dealing with them for a long time. And maybe we've even prayed for you here at church many, many times with no results. But I want to remind you today that whenever we go to Jesus and we ask for healing, the answer is always yes. If we're a follower of Jesus, the answer is always yes. But listen to this. It may not always be in this body at this time, even though that's what we're praying for. But the answer is always yes. You will be healed. You will be healed if you're a follower of Jesus. One day, you will be healed. We want it now in this body. We have no guarantee of that. But one day, we will be healed. But if you do have some kind of malady that we prayed for and nothing's happened, all I have to say is that we would love to pray for you again, because you never know. The kingdom can break in at any moment. And listen, pay attention right now. You need to know this. Here at the Vineyard, we will always pray for the sick and the hurting. That's the only way to see the kingdom of God come. So how I would like to end our service today is I want us to worship God. And as we worship him, let's ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and touch us, maybe for the very first time. But remember, you have not because you ask not. So will you join me in standing? And before we sing together, why don't you put yourself in a posture of prayer? Maybe close your eyes to block out any distractions. You know, if you feel comfortable, you might want to stretch your hands out to God or raise your hands to him. There's nothing magical about that. It's just an outward expression of an inward desire. So, Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, would you fill us? Would you touch us? Empower us, Lord, as we worship you. Lord, we ask you right now that you would come. Come, Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of lives, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweet of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, sing Holy Spirit. Of your
Amen. Isn't it good to worship? Well, I hope the Holy Spirit touched you in some way as we were singing together. Could I invite the ministry team to please come forward? You know, here at the Vineyard, as I said, we love to pray for people. And maybe you do have some kind of sickness or emotional malady that you've been dealing with. We want to pray with you. Maybe there's something completely unrelated to the message today. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you need help with your finances. Come and get prayer today. You know, and just as I was preparing for the message this weekend, I felt like there was a few specific groups of people that God was talking to me about. And one of those groups of people is maybe you've been praying for someone to be healed, or maybe you've been praying for healing for a few people and you've not seen that healing yet. And you've been kind of become discouraged, and maybe you're like, oh, maybe this is not gonna ever happen. I think God wants to encourage you today. And then, and then I also wanted to, I had to look at my notes. I forgot what the other one was. I also felt like God wanted to touch those of you who have maybe never been filled by the Holy Spirit before. Or maybe you just were touched by the Holy Spirit for the very first time as we were singing together. Like, we want to pray for you. We want the Lord to empower you more, to fill you more. Okay? So feel free to come down whenever. I'm going to pray and then I'll dismiss the service, all right? Well, Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that we can trust you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, would you walk with us throughout our days? Would you help us to be aware of you? Would we hear your voice? Would you touch us, Lord, every single day? So bless each one of us, Lord. Pour out your favor. Would you remind us right now of how much you love us and how important each one of us are to you? And Jesus, it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, thank you so much for being here today. Don't forget we have our small group fair happening, so check that out. And we'll see you next week.